drag queen voice back.
Put your drag queen voice on.
Oh, I love that. That was awesome. You should make all your messages like that, and I won't fast forward. I mean.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I almost said old New Age Old School mom. I'm not.
All right, you're being demoted again. You fucked it up.
It's hard, though, when it's also your name and someone else's name.
It's so hard. Your lady brain can't take it.
I thought there was going to be chocolate. I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Bueno.
See, Bueno managed. Maybe we should promote her and bump you back down.
Wow.
You should go behind Jean and Aaron.
Oh. Wow. Okay, when do I ever? I never mess up my name unless Stacey's not here because I'm used to hearing.
Oh, so now it's Stacey's fault?
Literary lesbian before you, you'd have a hard time remembering your name too.
Now it's Stacey's fault?
Yeah, because she's not here.
And excuse me, but I like my position on the bottom.
Oh. Hey-o. All right, so tonight. I have an oldie but a goodie, guys. Sorry, I was in P-Town all week. I went to the fridge. I'm drinking the Ménage à Trois bourbon barrel that's aged 3 months. It's the Cab California 2016. Take your love for Cabernet Sauvignon to thrilling, unexpected heights with Ménage à Trois bourbon barrel. This distinctive wine offers a rich, indulgent experience with jammy blueberry and blackberry flavors coated in caramel and smoky spice notes. I don't taste any of that, but it's pretty good. Like, I'm always down for Ménage à Trois.
Woo!
Oh,
girl. Whoever wrote that writes like the like TV guide descriptions.
Well,
for, like,
okay, and jammy blueberry as opposed to blueberry? Like just blueberry, because it's not like blueberries changed anyway.
Right. So, no, I know. It's super
they're just
funny.
Trying to hit a word count. I feel ya. I feel ya.
Getting close to home on that one.
That's funny. All right. I am not having wine tonight because it's 104 degrees out and it's fucking hot even inside my house.
Listen,
right now.
You're changing the rules. You're messing up your position. You're
okay,
fucking up
wow.
your name.
I'm pretty sure Aaron has been on here and not had wine.
She drank
before.
Potato wine.
Oh, yeah. Solid potato wine.
Aaron okay. will drink anything with an alcohol content.
Yes,
let's,
that's true. You
got to
keep the hand
that.
Sanitizer away from her. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so
just
I'm
just kidding, Aaron. We love you.
Canned Cutwater Spirits Tequila Margarita.
Oh.
Okay, so it's a ready-to-enjoy cocktail, tequila with natural lime, orange, and triple sec flavors, gluten-free. San Diego take on a classic, our lime margarita, puts a south of the border flavor in the palm of your hand. That's
oh, dirty. Ooh. Are you feeling a south of the border? Oh! She just smelled her fingers, guys.
The tequila's agave gives a floral aroma with a smooth finish that complements our house-made mix of tart lime, pure cane sugar and a subtle hint of orange. I don't know where they're finding that orange.
It's overtaken by the aluminum.
Yeah, perfectly balanced margarita with a Cutwater twist. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay for a canned margarita. It has a weird little aftertaste, but I don't know. Whatever. I'm not mad at it. It's got a lot of alcohol, so.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right.
Birthday girl.
Drinking.
Oh, Jean's yeah. birthday's in yeah. 2 days.
Oh, happy all birthday. Right. And let me tell you something. I am squeezing out every drop of birthday month. I am actually looking forward to it being over so I could start to sober up. But until then, tonight I'm drinking a Sutter Home Sauvignon Blanc from California.
Shout out to my mom. That's her go-to. Yeah, it
is. And this is what I call the wine for the problem drinker who's on a budget.
Because what's cheaper than Sutter Home?
Well, it is. It's cheap, and yet it is crisp and refreshing. And while I don't have any very flowery, enticing description like you read, Jackie, I will tell you that this wine says that you may be impaired while operating a machinery, and it may cause health problems. So, I mean, that sounds like a good time thing.
Thanks for the word
selling point. I don't know what it is.
Bueno, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Alamos, and it's a Cabernet Sauvignon 2017. It's from Mendoza, Argentina. Now, I'm going to say, I know it was fancy, right? But Pennsylvania law out here for, we went to go get, what is
Preaching the choir.
Yeah. We went to go get wine, and it took forever to find, like, even a bottle. So it's not pretty. It didn't have a nice name. It's just whatever was available.
It's tasty, though.
It is. I was really surprised. So
I feel like I've had that.
Have you? It's really good.
Quick, dump it out.
Wait.
No, just kidding.
Wow.
Don't hate me.
Jackie, you're on the burn unit tonight.
I know.
Well, someone's got to fill in for Aaron.
Yeah, so it's good with grilled vegetables and lamb.
Oh, it's good with grilled vegetables and lamb for an exciting night. Oh, out on the town.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just get into it. Gene, you want to start us off with your... We're not going to bore everyone to death with the outcome of the Mueller report. We know you're all up to date and informed on what went down. So we're just going to go over kind of our thoughts and feelings and what it means for the 2020 election.
All right. So I stopped watching it about an hour into it because, first of all, it was the typical Democrat versus Republican one-up. I can piss farther than you can. And to have Devin Nunes be the like the main voice for the Republicans.
The best
like,
thing about Devin Nunes is that that Twitter handle that came out, Devin Nunes is cow, which is the only good thing about Devin Nunes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he took the lead position when Schiff, you know, handed it over to the Republicans. And, you know, it just went from bad to worse because clearly, Mueller was able to establish that there was actual foreign interference from a foreign government during the 2016 election. There were members of Trump's team that benefited financially or sought to benefit financially from passing information that would be detrimental to the Clinton campaign. I mean, it was just a big dog and pony fuck show, and as much as I wanted to listen to the whole thing, I just had to stop at some point because okay, so the whole collusion thing was a big big disappointment, but as they pointed out, collusion is not a legal term, and neither is exoneration. So those two things just became, they canceled each other out. Okay, big deal, no collusion. And even though Mueller says that the report does not exonerate Donald Trump from any wrongdoing, neither one of those ideas matter anymore because they kind of cancel each other out. Now, the problem that I have with this whole thing is that we should be able to take exoneration and collusion and just throw them in the garbage because they don't matter anymore.
Yes.
So why are we not then dealing with the actual provable, documented case, obstruction of justice, and foreign governments interfering with our democratic election? Why are the bells not sounding at that?
Honestly, I think because people are too stupid. I really don't think people know the difference. And, you know, sorry, everybody, but you need to read some books sometimes. Like, they're, I think they just hear like, oh, well, there was no collusion. And I think that's a very like pointed move by Trump and all his cronies to like say that so many times, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion, like to get that out there so many times. That way, when they actually come out and say, well, there wasn't any collusion that we can do anything about because that's not a crime. And like all here, people hear is no collusion because they've been trained and they're like, oh, he's innocent. He's not. They very clearly asked, which I don't think was on purpose. I think it was kind of a fuck up on their part when they asked if he could be charged after he leaves office. And Mueller was like, yep. Like he said yes so fast to that question.
Right.
I think he's already got it on his calendar. He put it on his Google calendar. He's got a reminder sent. Like,
Lordy, I hope he's got a calendar.
Here's the thing. Both Republicans and Democrats set themselves up for absolutely unreal expectations. It reminded me, this was very like weapons of mass destruction-esque happened back during, I continuously said while I was serving in the military, and you know, they only pump news information that they want you to see in there. So it's very, very, at least they did at the time. I don't know what they do now, but
I'm sure they still do the same thing.
I kept saying to people, do they honestly expect to find like a rocket buried somewhere? Like, is it, but this is what they're searching for instead of little pieces of weaponry that could be used to make up a weapon of mass destruction. People get this idea in their head. And because we're such an entire species of people who is so used to, you know, searching for something in Google, show me a weapon of mass destruction and an image popping up. If it doesn't fit the image we have predetermined in our head, what something will look like, it is very hard for people to wrap their brains around it. And the Democrats too, they have it in their head that there was going to be some big smoking gun. And it's kind of like when relationships die of 1,000 cuts. Trump committed like 1,000 different infractions that led up to this one really catastrophic case of treason against the American people. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think Trump did it on purpose because I don't think he's smart enough. Like, I don't think he set out to mislead, because I think it's just inherent in him to take every shortcut that is offered, to take every possible avenue, regardless if it's legal or illegal or morally correct or ethically like clear. I think he's just wired to take every single shortcut. And then when it turns out it's illegal, he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's smart enough. So you weren't going to find one smoking gun. He did a bunch of little bullshit things. But just because you rob a bank and didn't know it was illegal to rob a bank doesn't mean you're not guilty of robbing a fucking bank.
Ignorance of the law is not a defense.
Right.
I was going to say, even when George Stephanopoulos was like interviewing him this most recent time where he spent, I forget however long in the White House. And he was like, if in the, you know, the 2020 election, somebody offered you information on your opponent.
He still hasn't learned his lesson.
He has no idea.
It's just like when people say, do you think Trump's a racist? I don't, because I don't think Trump has any belief system in anything, because I truly believe he's a narcissist. I think he plays to the racist because those are the people that support him. I think it's easy for him to speak their language because they tend to be ignorant and less educated. So it's easy to make them his supporters. I think if Trump was any smarter, he would be pandering to the liberals because he's always seeked their approval. He's always wanted to be a social elite. He's always wanted to fit into this box that he's always bitching about. So no, I don't think Trump's a racist. I think he's an absolute narcissist with no belief system whatsoever, who happens to also be a colossal boob.
Yes.
Right.
And you know what? You know what? We call him a narcissist a lot, but I don't often hear the word opportunist. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely what he's always been from day one. What opportunity can I self-promote? What opportunity can I sidestep the law? What opportunity can I enrich myself financially? What opportunity can I find to make myself even better in the media than I think I am? And that's what the whole Russian interference was about. It wasn't so much about, do I give a shit about beating Hillary Clinton? No, I don't give a shit about beating Hillary Clinton. In fact, some people say he didn't want to beat her. Right. What he wanted was to get in with the Russian oligarchy deep enough to get that fucking Trump Tower built in Moscow. And that's what he's always been about.
Full stop. Getting his stupid he wanted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Stupid fucking name on every piece of real estate that he could get his fat, grabby hands on.
Because I feel like he's compensating for something that might be...
baby hands.
Baby hands.
All hands.
What do you think, Bueno?
About the Mueller report or about Trump?
I mean, we're obviously not sticking to an agenda here, so...
And I know that Jackie's already, I know that Jackie's already kind of told me that it's our duty to stay.
I told her.
Yeah.
Because I listen to you, Jamie.
We listen. Yeah, I do listen. This week I actually told her she was right on a opinion.
You guys don't know Bueno, but that never fucking happens.
Yeah. We've been arguing since Bush.
Yeah.
Like, because she used to be a Republican. Mm-hmm. And
right. What I wouldn't give to have him back, though. At this
right? But I'm getting really tired of it. And it sounds, as much as any time something comes out, the people that need to be convinced are never convinced. They always have a different idea. Like, this wasn't what Mueller said. It obviously didn't come from him, because that's what it said on Fox News before that I checked. I'm getting tired, because nothing's going to come of this. I wish it would. I mean, I don't think Pelosi's ever going to ask for impeachment at this point. Like, I don't see how this hearing will do anything further. And I hate Trump. I hate saying that, but I hate Trump. I don't want to disrespect my president, but I am. I don't see him doing anything great.
There are like zero redeemable qualities. There really is not one thing where you can say like, oh, well, this was okay. No, well, not.
And Teddy Roosevelt said to question the president is the most patriotic thing that you can do. It shows that you're paying attention to what is going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And loyalty to the president is not patriotism. Mm-mm. Loyalty to your country is patriotism. Is the person that won the job of president doing everything he possibly can do to improve the lives of American citizens and truly make the country better than it could be? And we have seen zero evidence of that, because all Trump does is continue to self-promote and put his family into positions where they get to profit. And I just don't understand how, in light of everything that was revealed through the Mueller report, that Pelosi and the Democrats could not try for an impeachment. Not that we're going to get him out of office, because we're not going to get him out of office. That's not the goal here. The goal is there's an avenue that says that when a president is fucking up royally, it is the duty of Congress to call him on the carpet and make sure that he answers for all the fucking shit that he's doing wrong. And that's what impeachment is. And by the Democrats just kind of letting this go on, stupidly thinking that, meh, we got 2020 in the bag. Everybody can't be possibly as stupid as they were last time and reelect him. Oh, well, yeah, they absolutely can.
No, so here's what we need to do. We need about 75% of the people trying to run for president
to run for Senate.
To run for Senate.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen, because without that, we don't stand a chance. And so I think that's what needs to happen. Most of those people can make a much bigger difference in the Senate and have a really, really good chance of winning.
Here's the other thing that people are ignoring. I mean, beyond the Mueller investigation, this whole Supreme Court issue, even I know it's kind of insignificant when you look at something like the census. And I'm not saying the census is insignificant. We use it for a shit ton of things, including private enterprise and programming and all this stuff. But the Supreme Court issued a no, you can't do this. You can't ask this question because of the basis. It was a loophole. He needs to go about it the right way. And I'm not, anyway, it doesn't matter. But Trump decided to go ahead and give it an executive order, well, he was initially going to, and ignore the Supreme Court and say, no, we're going to do this anyway. And I think a lot of people are glossing over this. And what they're not taking into perspective is the Constitution. We were listening to a podcast on the way home from P-Town, and they were discussing this very instance. And the Constitution works because we will it to work. Mm-hmm. We say that this living, breathing document gives us our rights, our laws, the gray, the black, the white areas that we can work within, and what governs all of our institutions. But that only works because we have all decided that it works. Now we're in a situation where a president, and there's only one of them, has decided that he's going to ignore a co-equal branch of government. And we saw it when Hope Hicks said that she wasn't going to testify in front of Congress. Don Jr. has refused to testify in front of Congress. The president willingly lied under oath in an investigation. And I'm not saying presidents haven't done that before. Like, I'm not naive enough to think that. But we are heading in the direction of a constitutional crisis. And there are I used to consider, people on this podcast know, I went from Republican to Independent to Democrat. And I like to tell everyone, I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me. Like, that's right how on, it went sister. Down. But I've always considered myself pretty moderate and even ground, probably because of my time in the military. But we're now in a situation where one party is completely ignoring the absolute crisis and chaos that we're in order to point and laugh at the liberals. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to take, because this doesn't go away when Trump leaves office, whether or not it's in 2024 or 2020, it doesn't matter. We are in Trumpism now exists. It lives, it breathes, it's growing in mm-hmm. numbers. The more that we fight and argue over petty issues, the more you're giving his base. He has a 93% approval rating among Republicans. Oh, 93%.
Crazy.
That's so frightening. The idea that the classic Republican, the John McCains, still exist is gone. We have to let that go. That is one of the reasons I find Joe Biden to be dangerous at this point in time. I like Joe Biden. Don't at me. He's a good guy. Like Uncle Joe, I get it.
But not for now.
Yeah. But we aren't in a situation where we can currently work with the active branch of the Republican Party, because they are not the Republicans that Joe Biden is discussing. He is lost mm-hmm. somewhere in the past. That's not the real, that's not who we're dealing with anymore. So this idea that Joe's going to come in because the moderates love him, that's just as dangerous as keeping Trump in office, because this Republican Party isn't the one of our grandparents and our dads. It's just not. It's not.
Joe can come speak at a, you know, convention somewhere. Like, come to a convention.
Joe should be fundraising for the front runners. Right. Yes, he needs to sit down. Now, if he ends up being the candidate, I will vote for him. Whatever.
Yeah, me too. You know, but you're absolutely right. There are too many Democrats right now all bottlenecking into this thing that needs to be ironed out. We have less than a year and a half to get this shit together.
It's actually too late for impeachment. We need
even symbolic impeachment.
We want the history books to show that we saw something wrong. I really want the history books to show
that. They should have done it 6 months ago, because now it looks like a political ploy, and it adds to his defense that they're just out to attack him and distract from the actual work he's trying to do. I don't disagree fundamentally that he should be impeached. I don't believe he's fit for office emotionally, mentally, physically. Who thinks he actually weighs 220 pounds? I mean, come on, guys.
That is such a joke.
But they waited too long. They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. Right. They waited too long.
At this point, we need to it needs to be a re-election. And then apparently, according to Mueller, then apparently prosecution after he leaves office. Because we have to remember that this whole case is predicated on the fact that what was it exactly? It's not a law that he can't be charged as president. It's
a memo. It's like an active
memo from the Justice Department, which, fucking really? I don't care what you're doing. If you do something against the law, you should suffer the consequences.
I understand the intent of the law, because you could tie up a president in endless court battles if you had a Congress that was working against them. I understand in theory what it should be. Too,
especially if it has something to do with like their service in the office, mm-hmm. but this doesn't. And so, I mean, I get it, but I think that people have to remember that this whole thing, the whole report and the outcome of it is predicated on this memo. It doesn't mean he wasn't guilty. It means it doesn't matter what they found, because this memo says they can't charge him.
Well, the entire intent of the investigation was to say whether or not he should have been impeached, and they should have done it 6 fucking months ago. Now it's a political ploy.
Right. So now where we're at is, because that's happening, people need to listen to, instead of just reading the headlines, go listen to the fucking videos. Like, go watch the unedited, just raw
It's on a podcast. You can download it for free on Audible and listen to it. Like, there's a million ways to get this information.
Do it. Right. And so if you don't trust somebody like Mueller under oath answering these questions about a report that he wrote, you'd rather trust fucking Trump. I don't know that we can help you anymore. I don't know that there is a, You know, you can't, if you can't judge somebody who's had a nothing but a track record of being honest and doing his job and not having a problem, if you can't trust that guy over Trump, then we can't fucking do anything. All we can do is hope he doesn't get reelected.
He's a fucking Republican.
Right.
Right. Exactly. But those supporters are so entrenched in Trumpism that it doesn't matter what any Republican says if the Republican is going against Trump. Anybody who goes against Trump, whether it's Democrat, Independent, Republican, where Trump's base is concerned, those fucking nudniks who are the white supremacists, who are the racists, who are the goddamn homophobes, all of those people do not want to hear and will not entertain anything that contradicts what they believe Donald Trump is doing, which is making America great. Now, let me ask you this. Out of all the things that a president can do wrong, where do you think treason ranks?
Pretty fucking high.
Somewhere right reason. Around grabbing women by the pussy. I mean, just yeah. above that, I mean, because well, women are second class citizens. But
exactly. So I'd say treason ranks number one. Grabbing them by the pussy ranks number two, because women just aren't that important right now. So if you've got a president who has committed treason and exchanging information with foreign governments who are our enemies does not fucking in some way rate as treason, what does? I mean, at what point should we say, look, Trump, you have to answer to this?
This is where I feel like the Republican Party, like you're saying, Jackie, like how the party left you, like at this point, I can't take any Republicans seriously, because isn't the major cornerstone of their belief system smaller government, less government control, less government interference?
That was why it was so Republican. Let people live
how
free.
Are we fucking nickel and diming the law over here? That's what I don't get. Like, you want less government interference, yet it's like, well, we're just gonna fucking make the operation game out of all of these things. And if you like, I don't get it. Like, they've just picked apart their values so much that you have to like, well, I'm just gonna put the tweezers right in here and not touch the little thing and then pull out this little
thing.
Well,
we've actually discussed this on here before. Rights are rights, whether you like them or you don't. Like, sometimes people are going to have rights that you don't agree with and you don't think that they deserve. It doesn't fucking matter, because you are inherently born with a certain set of rights and privileges of being a United States citizen that you are guaranteed no matter what. Now, those rights are guaranteed to you because of the Constitution of the United States. Mm-hmm. So when you start pushing back against the laws that dictate the Constitution of the United, or the Constitution dictates the laws of this country, now, just logically speaking, you're going to start falling down a rabbit hole where rights start going away. And I think Democrats should be taking especially clear. One of my main issues with the Democrats, and one of the reasons that I always had issue with them, was that they had zero self-awareness. They had mm-hmm. really little capability of looking at the things that they were okay with, and yeah. hating on the Republicans for the exact same thing. And I think this is a really good opportunity for the Democrats to really take a good, long, hard look at themselves, because I heard very little. One of my biggest issues with Obama was his executive orders. He governed way too much by executive order, and I thought that was a direct violation of the Constitution, having three co-equal branches of government. I understand intellectually that the Congress was working against him because the Congress wasn't working correctly, and that's right. why he did what he did. I mm-hmm. understand that on an intellectual level, but now we're in a situation where you have a fucking monster in office who is governing by executive order because the precedent has been set. Mm-hmm. So this
well,
is
he's not smart enough to know any better. He thought and was like, "Oh, we do this."
But one of the issues, one of the reasons a lot of like the Southern Republicans left the Democratic Party was because there was a lot of hypocrisy, and they saw us saying, "You can't do this, you can't do that," unless our guy's in fucking office. So
yeah,
those are the people that you lost. Those are the middle ground people that now are finally seeing. Trump speaks at a third grade level. That even Bush spoke at a ninth grade level. And that was the, listen, him getting stuck in that poncho was the highlight of my year. So I'm just saying, I have a real warm place. Yeah, in my heart. Like that was, I'm just saying, he used to be the dumbest president in history. And now we have someone speaking at a third grade level. And people are worshiping him like a religious leader, like a religious leader. And instead of taking a step back and the Democrats saying, what is it that's fueling this type of adoration and following and like cult obsession that we've missed? The Democrats have failed somewhere too.
Yeah. You know what I think a lot of this is? We as a nation have underestimated how many bigots there still are actively living and lurking among us.
Yeah.
I think having an African-American president, having a Supreme Court that allowed nationwide, or should I say made gay marriage the law of the land, I think those two things rattled so many imbeciles' cages that they have come out in full force now that there is an imbecile just like them in control.
Well, it's because that used to be something you were ashamed of.
Right.
And now it's something that's celebrated.
I agree. Right. But I also think the Democrats haven't done a good job. And I'm going to vote Democrat. Nobody worry. I'm saying, I think
speak your truth, Jackie.
She might find an independent.
The Democrats have done a really poor job. They preach globalism for a really long time. And I'm pro globalism. I think the world's become smaller with technology and the internet, and we should be working with other countries around the world. Mm-hmm. What they've done a terrible job of doing though, is combating the catchphrase of brown people are taking your job and saying, no, robots are taking your fucking job.
Right.
Automation is taking your job. You have to find a new skill set because coal isn't coming back. We waited until it was Trump versus Clinton because you were still trying to catch up those Southern white voters in the Democratic Party. Instead of trusting enough people to be honest with them and saying, look, your jobs are gone. And I'm sorry about that. That must be scary and frustrating. And you don't know how you're going to support your family and your children and the generations to come. Here are some options. Now, one of the things that I did like that President Obama did that was struck down by fucking Mitch McConnell was he offered coal workers free training in solar power. He wanted to get them retrained to go to work for solar power industries. Now, Mitch McConnell struck that down. Why weren't the Democrats throwing a fit about that? Why weren't they throwing a fit about Merrick Garland? Unless you were actively paying attention to the news, very few people heard about the whole Merrick Garland upheaval. Democrats, though, we have to stop thinking that people are going to read this information for themselves. And it's not because they're stupid. It's because people are working three jobs and supporting four and five kids. Politics, they don't pay attention until 2 months before the election. And then they're just getting their information from Facebook. Right. We have to start doing a better. I think we need to give the American people the benefit of the doubt and start being honest with them. And it's one of the reasons I support Elizabeth Warren. Because she's putting out complicated solutions to complicated problems and expecting people to understand them. She's giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to figure this out, read about it, and learn about it. And that's the first politician that I have ever encountered in my lifetime that has done that and not try to dumb it down or shade certain areas so they didn't see what was actually going on behind the screen. She's actually saying, look, it's going to be hard. It's going to cost more and it's going to take some time to do this, but here's my solution and it's going to work in the next 10 years. And fucking thank you. You're not going to fix it in your first 100 days in office. Stop telling people that.
Yeah. Right? And you're not going to fix it with a fucking Make America Great Again slogan. That I think is the difference.
Those people are angry though because they were told brown people are taking their jobs and they're not. Robots are.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is like the Democrats don't do a good job with messaging. There's too much infighting. And especially now, like it was bad enough, I felt like, in the last election because there was a big, like, our house was not in order because there were a lot of Democrats who supported Bernie Sanders and right. who felt like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and that whole group,
they can
like,
fuck
really
all the way
conspired,
off.
Right. Conspired against Bernie to give Hillary the
They can fuck
Hillary
all the way off.
And yeah. right. And I think at that point, like, there should have been a lot more healing that was done with that. I don't know that Bernie was the right presidential candidate, but at that point, would I have said, hey, you need to look at a Clinton Sanders ticket? 100% because the party was so clearly divided between those two. And so them sort of gearing up, like, Debbie Wasserman Schultz has given Democrats such a bad name. It's like, it's really, really frustrating. And I think at this point, seeing what happened and seeing how divisive it was, I think they could have gotten a lot of the, like, never Hillary people
no,
that were.
You know what they should have been told? Grow the fuck up. Right. You didn't get
That's
what you wanted. I'm so sorry.
Right.
Here's the thing. Bill Maher said it best. He said, sometimes when you get an invitation to a wedding, maybe you want prime rib, but you know what? They're not fucking serving prime rib. They're serving fish or chicken. Mm-hmm. So you take the chicken and you shut the fuck up about it.
Right.
Exactly. Grow right. up. You don't always get what you want.
That's not what happened. So then you had all these, like, never Hillary people, whatever, who voted for Trump, which, fuck you, first of all.
Right.
You're a horrible
fuck you
Democrat.
Twice. Right.
But seeing where we were, you know, 3 years ago, get your shit together. Let's all get behind somebody now. Let's fucking decide where we're going to put our eggs, which basket are they going in, and then everybody else run for Senate.
Right. And let's not have another fucking debate with 20 candidates.
That's yeah. it right there.
You can't do that again. You got to fucking oh. cut that field in half.
So maybe we just look at it as what a great opportunity for, you know, what a great opportunity for people to get their names out there and then run for Senate.
Okay, so here's my thing, and I don't think people realize this, but in our last elections, we had this opportunity as Democrats to use what Russia did to us against the Republicans, and we actually did it, and we won. And the way we did that was dividing them.
In 2018.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. So we divided them. And that's exactly what's happening with all that. And that's what pisses me off is, like, we are using this as a tactic, and yet we're still having 20 people on that and not voters. Like, I don't want to have to choose. I want to get behind one person, and I want it to go very far. And the more that you divide, the less people are going to show up to vote. And I need that. I need those people to vote. I need the youth to vote. I need everyone to come together. And that's going to be the biggest part, is knowing that we have all this information. We know what divides us, and yet we still do it.
Here's the thing. Here's a
bueno.
Here's the
bueno.
Thank you. I don't want to hear, but I want to have a beer with him. I don't give a fuck if you want to have a beer with him. Okay, I get it. You didn't like Hillary Clinton. I didn't like Hillary Clinton. I didn't want to hang out with Hillary Clinton. But you know what?
I liked her too.
But yeah. But here's the thing. She was the most qualified. She's one of the smartest people, not just women, smartest people on the fucking planet. Yep. Like, I trusted her to get the job done. I don't have to like her. That's not a stop with your bullshit purity test.
Yeah.
Stop with them. Oh, your candidates are not going to check every box for you. And you know what? They shouldn't, because that's how cults are formed. They shouldn't fall in line with everything.
Check any of those boxes. That's the thing I don't get. Anyways, regardless, I think that here's the deal. Democrats need to stop going into the election cycle. I just think we need to stop picking Trump apart. Because, hear me out. People are fucking sensitive, all kinds of people. And you know what they don't like hearing is you made a mistake and you voted for the wrong guy because you're stupid.
Well,
and
you are. But
even though it's true, you don't have
I'm not going to say that to their face.
We tend to do a lot of that. And that just plays into that, like, liberal, elite, blah, blah, blah bullshit thing. What we need to be talking about is, okay, so in the last 3 years, has healthcare become more affordable and more accessible to you?
No.
In the last 3 years, have you seen an increase in your tax return? Are you employed now and you weren't before? Like, I just think in certain areas, we need to be sensitive to the fact that, like, don't go in fucking guns blazing. Like, you voted for an idiot, but guess what? Yeah, you did. But we need to talk about the issues and, like, you voted. Okay, that's great. Let's see if we can get you to make a little bit more informed decision that's going to benefit you more next time.
And I think we also approach a bunch of issues incorrectly. Like, this whole crisis at the border with kids being in absolutely unacceptable conditions. We Democrats are guilty of it too. We work in zero sum. Okay. We have to stop saying kids have to be out of cages. Like, we can't do this. Everybody should be able to come across the border. That's not going to resonate with a large majority of the people. What we need to say is, yes, we need a better system to keep track of these people, but there is a more humane way to do it. And we are not we understand a crisis happened. You did the best you could at the time, but now that it's happening, let's figure out a more humane way to process this influx of asylum seekers, and let's get these children matched up with at least their parents, at the very least their mothers. Right. Like, keeping kids from their you are breeding an entire generation of terrorists, because they are going to hate this country. And if you're Christian and you are pro-life, how can you not want these children? I'm not saying let them. I personally think, because asylum seeking isn't illegal, they should be checked in, monitored, give them a monitoring bracelet so you know where they are, and let them go out into the public and go live with their family members that are already here. There is a more humane way. And I'm not for open borders. We have to have borders to have any type of law and control in this country, but we don't have to treat them like cattle. We don't. 11 children have died in our custody. I can't even tell you the people's heads I would rip apart if that was my son. I would 100% be in jail, because I would be taking down every person in a uniform that I encountered. And the likelihood that a majority of these children being reunited with their parents is very, very small. And that should make everyone sick to their stomach.
Yes, it should.
Sick. Mm-hmm. Imagine if someone took Piper from you. Like, I'm just saying, like, the thought of someone there's a more humane way.
You fuck with my cat, you're going to have a problem.
Right. So I'm not saying open our borders up, but we need to take a good, they're violating the Constitution.
Right.
By not allowing asylum seekers in.
We understand it can be two things. We can need comprehensive immigration reform and work on that. But realistically, that's going to be a decade away. What do we do in the meantime?
It doesn't have to be.
It can't be. But you know what I mean? Like, from the time of, like, when everything's running smoothly, like, it takes a long time to get to where you need to go. But what are you going to do in the meantime?
Well, you know what? Can we just talk about the fact that, I mean, was this an actual crisis till Donald Trump came
I was playing
in
into their rhetoric.
Right.
I was
made it a crisis.
No.
So first and foremost, let's talk about, and this is what none of the Republican Trump supporters want to talk about. Let's be honest about the fact that American business owners, many American business owners,
including
many
Trump,
of whom are Republicans, willfully employ illegal immigrants because they are cheap. They don't have to give them benefits. They don't have to give them sick time. If there were no job opportunities to come here for, to risk your life for, we wouldn't have this issue. How come nobody blames the fucking business owners
who
exploit these people?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Pops all around.
Talk about that. If you want to talk about a crisis.
Be real. Let's start being honest.
Right.
Be real. And talk about the crisis of the fucking people who are enriching themselves off of the backs of these desperate immigrants who just want to fucking have a job and earn a
living. Agree.
And they get portrayed as like a succubus when realistically they're coming in here, they're working, they're paying taxes, and they're not able to receive any of the services that those taxes pay for. So so your idea that they come in here, not your idea, but you know, the collective the group that we're talking about, thinks that they come in here and take advantage of everything and they don't pay their fair share. Fuck you. Of course they do. They all pay taxes. They pay sales taxes.
They actually contribute $18 billion to the economy just in California per year.
Yeah. And who knows that? Right. And which Trump supporters know that?
It's just frustrating. Also, being a Trump supporter, like, let me rephrase that. Not being a Trump supporter doesn't make you not a Republican. There were plenty of Democrats who didn't support Hillary, and they didn't feel like any less of a Democrat for not supporting her. So nobody should feel like less of a Republican for not supporting Trump. You should feel like more of a Republican because none of his fucking values align with your party.
Well, and I want to be clear. Excellent. I don't actually think there's a crisis at the border. I was saying address their thought process. I don't want anyone sending me a message telling me
No, Jackie, I just wanted to reiterate the fact that this fucking crisis was a fabrication of Donald Trump in order to appease the people who voted for him, thinking that all these fucking Mexicans are coming in there and raping their women and taking their jobs.
Because it's not any different or any worse than it was when he climbed out of his fucking Cheeto bag.
Like, well, let's not forget either, Trump has an anchor baby. Barron Trump, and I'm not, right. Barron Trump is completely innocent in this situation. I'm just using him as an example. I have no feelings about Barron Trump. he is an anchor baby. Melania is an immigrant, but she's a white immigrant. So the fact that we even have to have this, and I liked, so my administrative assistant that works for me, we got into it over immigration, and we're not going to get in immigration because we've done immigration several times here. But I asked her, because she has the whole like, oh, well, they shouldn't be allowed here. They weren't born here. Number one, by sheer fucking luck, were you born an American? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sheer luck. You had no control over that. You had no say so. You had nothing to do with it. You could have just as easily been born in Honduras, Guatemala, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran.
It's luck of the draw. Luck of the draw. Your dad jizzed in your mom.
Secondly, ew. Secondly, I would show me a parent. Show me a parent. There are women who will go to war with the principal of a school over their kid getting a sideways look in a hallway at a middle school. And you're telling me that if your child was an imminent danger in their home of origin, that you wouldn't do everything. And I'm not hating on you for this. I'm saying, as a parent, you will do everything in your power, everything, to make sure that they have a better life, that they will be able to be outside of those walls of absolute death or carnage or gang-related issues or child war criminals. You will do everything you can. These people coming across love their children the same way you love yours. Absolutely. You just have the benefit of being born in the right fucking place. I read a saying once, and it said, sympathy is looking at someone with, you know, those images they show with like a fly on their face and thinking, oh, that's too bad. Empathy is taking a look at them and realizing that the only thing that separates your circumstance from theirs is luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's absolutely. It. Have some fucking empathy. Right. It won't kill
that's
you.
The thing that's liking, because people are going to say like, oh, well, Melania came here the right way. Guess what? It's a whole lot easier to
marrying
come here
a rich person
than it is to come here as literally anything else. So unless you're a doctor, a scientist, like, I mean, we're not going to get into the whole immigration thing, but your chances of coming here are so, like, again, we just need comprehensive immigration reform. But again, it drives me insane. And if you're so worried about this stuff, that's not a real super Republican thing to be like, we shouldn't let them in and we shouldn't do this. Like, no, because your whole deal is that the government shouldn't be this involved in your everyday life. So
old Republican.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Exactly. So I'm going to preface it this with the fact that my whole family is Republican. I'm the only Democrat.
My condolences for you.
like classic Republican or current Republican?
So they were, oh my gosh, they're both. So they were classic. So they were classic, and now they are Trump supporters. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's rough.
Well, yeah, welcome to my world. So one of the biggest things that I get to listen to is The Other Side, which I think is one of the best parts about doing it. So it was brought to my attention, and please don't hate me for saying this, and I do believe it, that immigrants actually do end up causing us to go into debt. Now,
I hate you, boy.
I know, right?
Just kidding.
So those first-generation immigrants actually cost us more. However, their second generation, their children, end up profiting us. So they use our systems way better, because the fact that they know that they came from a place which they couldn't, they were repressed. So for Republicans, they a lot of times attack us and they use that statistic that, well, you know what, they're a drain on our system. Well, yes, they're first generation. They are a drain on our system. And I have to be okay with that because I did read the studies and I do see that. But they're second generation.
The thing. They're a drain on the system. They're not looking at the fact that they're paying. They're paying taxes.
Well, they're still paying taxes. Nonetheless, they do drain it. Because the ones that do come in legally, and this is all legal. So they don't talk. This study has nothing to deal with the illegal immigrants that are getting abused.
Are a drain on the
system. Yes, the ones that come legally are a drain on our system. And that's what they will always point to when it comes to all these arguments, is that they're a drain on our system. And I hear it all the time.
But the improvement goes on as the generations
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
But also, I think the difference is, I'm okay with that. I think that's the difference between liberals and conservatives, is that I see the, like, investment of a first-generation like immigrant coming in and being a drain on the system. And I'm okay with that if that means that they were able to come to a better place and have a better life.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds real Christ-like to me. You think more conservatives would be on board with that.
Can I just, like, chime in? My grandmother came over here from Italy through Ellis Island when she was 16 years old.
And all of our relatives?
Right. So she comes over legally. To my knowledge, she did not receive any type of assistance, worked in a factory, And then my mother and I, first and second generation Americans, have done nothing but contribute to the system. Yeah. And if you look at my bar tabs, and if you look at my receipts from liquor stores, I have disposable income that I re-infuse into the economy like nobody's fucking business.
I'm going into moonshine, guys.
My Italian grandmother for coming over here through Ellis Island and helping me help you.
But can't we all say that?
That's what we're forgetting. Everybody's forgetting in this argument.
Here's the other thing, too. And I have said this on here before, but I know we've gotten a lot of new listeners lately who don't go back and listen. It was a shit show.
Oh, don't.
Yeah. Aww. So we have to collectively decide, like, here, there's a bigger issue at play here, right? And we have to decide who we fundamentally are as Americans. You keep hearing the saying of, this isn't my country. This isn't who we are. Yes. Yes, it is, because this is what we're doing. So stop fucking saying that. This is who we are right now. So you have to decide whether or not America is a place or it's an ideal. And to a lot of the rest of the world, America is an idea. It's a chance. We're a country of benevolence. We have been in the past. We're also a country who has made mistakes. We're a country of opportunity. And for the most part, with the exceptions of the bullshit systemic racism that we have pounded down the throats of minorities for generations, you can come here and offer the future generations a better life. Our ancestors, they didn't want to leave their families, their homes, all of the, they did it for you and Eugene and and
my
you,
father's Bueno, an immigrant.
Your father's an immigrant. I'm saying we have to let go of this idea that America stops at the borders, because that's not what the Constitution is written, that as soon as someone steps foot on our land, you have every right that an American has. That is an idea. Is an idea that spreads everywhere. The reason that we supposedly fight for democracy all over the world is because we are fighting for the ideal of America. And we have to stop acting as if that is restricted by borders. When I was in the Navy, my officers used to say, when you get off this boat or ship, act like an American. Now, that could be construed in a very different way now, but what they meant by that was show courtesy to people, show respect to people, and show respect to the culture. That is what they meant. Did everyone do that? No, but we could save that for another episode altogether.
It was a nice idea.
But if we want to be the shining gem on the hill, if we want to be this place of idealism and this place that you want people to idolize and a place where you want people to emulate, stop treating others like shit. Because if you think, and I know none of our listeners think this, but if you think there's a crisis at a border now, wait until climate change happens and there's mass migration from all over the planet, because there's sections of the earth where they can no longer grow food. and where that the climate gets so hot, people cannot live. It's already happening in the Middle East. It's happening right below the equator. It's happening everywhere. So everyone needs to get their shit together and start being really, really honest, not only about who we are right now, but who we were and who we want to be afterwards.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a great point, but I think part of the thing is people need to realize and appreciate that there's not that many years between who you used to be and who you are now. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that long ago that these things were happening. And I don't know, like you said, Bueno, like, your dad's an immigrant. My great grandparents were immigrants. Is there anybody even on here listening to this who has relatives that were alive at some point in their lifetime that weren't born in another country?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we like to fantasize this big, huge difference between what happened. But guess what? My grandma, who's still alive, her parents were born in another country.
But what brought them here was the idea of America. It's always lived beyond our borders.
100%. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying we, with all the conveniences we have now, we tend to forget that that wasn't that long ago. So,
right. And if you talk to immigrants, especially immigrants who go through the process of citizenship, if you talk to them, and I know this because in the school that I work at, we do citizenship. Those people are way more fucking patriotic about America than people who were born here.
Yeah.
They respect and appreciate and value the ideals of America way more than some of these fuckers who are born here and bitch and moan and complain about how America is not the way they think it should be and this and that and the other thing. That just because you were not born here, your ancestors weren't born here 400 years ago, doesn't have anything to do with who the fuck you are as an American today.
Right.
And they come here for that purpose.
It drives me crazy in general because your ethnicity and your nationality are not the same thing.
Right.
And this drives me fucking insane all the time. It's like how people think your gender is synonymous with your sexuality.
Yes.
It's not. They're not the same thing.
Excellent point.
And so that's one of the things that I think people get confused about is like, guess what? There's a lot of people that have an Indian nationality that live in England. There's people that have a Japanese heritage that live in Italy. Like, you can have a nationality that has nothing to do with your ancestry. And it's just so funny to me because guess what? Most people's ancestry does not match up with where they live. Cause that's how the
well,
world
and again,
works.
Right. It comes down to grow the fuck up, right. Grow up. Not everyone is going to look like you. Not everyone is going to have the same beliefs as you. Not everyone is going to want the same things you do. Don't hurt people that have never fucking hurt you. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. There you go.
Go back to where you came from because we didn't get a chance to talk about
what
that
do you mean
yet.
The Bronx?
Right, what?
Yeah.
Where you came from, if you're here now, you're an American. Congratulations.
Right. And it doesn't matter where you're from or what your culture is or what your beliefs are. We basically all want the same things in life. Mm-hmm. We all just want the best for ourselves and our families. And because your vision looks different than mine, it doesn't mean that I'm a fucking terrible person or you are. It just means that we're different and we just have to accept that as a fact and fucking get on with it and stop worrying about what other people are doing because nobody wants to fucking ruin your shit. All they want to do is provide the best for themselves and their own families.
People are way too selfish to give a shit about what you're doing.
Exactly.
Well, and stop pretending as if. So we're also in a generation, I shouldn't say generation, this small like microcosm of Trump being in office. We're having a, and I hope it's a blip on the radar. I hope it is. I hope we look back at it the same way we did when they didn't segregate schools or when they did segregate schools, or when they said black people couldn't marry white people. Like, but we need to be cognizant of that because that wasn't that fucking long ago.
That's I mean,
Joe Biden was still part of that movement. Okay, we still live in a time where our grandmas couldn't buy a house without our grandpas. Like, stop talking about these like they're some elusive times that that date back to the Puritans. They're not. They weren't that long ago.
That's what I was saying. We forget. We don't respect how not long ago it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, grow the fuck up and don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
And oh my God, while we're talking about that, everybody, women, like literally everybody, like you said, it wasn't that long ago. Some of us have grandparents that were alive when it was not legal for women to vote. So fucking vote.
That and God,
fucking vote.
Women who voted for Trump.
I'm
gonna need
Jackie. That's a whole.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, we're not gonna talk about that this episode.
Episode that we need to explore.
Mm-hmm. Oh. We need to find a woman.
We did. We did get a listener question about that once, and we do need to cover it. Maybe we'll do it next time. An expose on women that voted for Trump.
Yes.
I feel like they may be religious.
I think that they do whatever their husbands want.
I was just going to say, I don't think they're really, I think they are religious. Bueno, I think you're right. But I have a few friends that did vote for Trump, I'm sure. Or say they supported Trump and then didn't vote at all because they don't vote. It's hard to be friends with them. But they just do what their husbands want. And it's so fucking frustrating. And I'm going to give props to my friend Kayla, because her husband's a Republican and she's a Democrat. And guess what? She doesn't give a fuck what he thinks. She's going to have her own thoughts and views and opinions and do what she wants.
Yay, Kayla. Yeah.
So one of my favorite people in the entire world, Subi, her husband's a diehard Republican. She's a diehard Democrat. And she goes, we walk hand in hand down the voting booth and I go straight down there and I cancel out his vote.
Yep.
She's really doing God's work here. Thank
you. Not all heroes wear capes.
Doing God's work. Balance.
All right. What is everyone obsessed with this week?
Okay. Can I go first?
Yes. Okay. Of course. We've already.
All right. I'm ready this.
This
time. So I watched a documentary last night about Dr. Ruth. Holy shit! You
like
guys
the sex
need
lady.
To watch. Yes.
Okay.
This is Dr. Ruth Westheimer. You are on the air.
Okay. You guys need to go watch this. It's on Hulu. Holy shit, is she amazing. I don't know how much you guys know about her, but she grew up in Germany during the Holocaust. Her parents sent her on a train to Switzerland to an orphanage. And she had to live in this orphanage. And basically, like, kind of a second-class citizen in Switzerland. They didn't have a lot of rights, whatever. All of her family was murdered in the Holocaust. The headmistress, like, of the orphanage she was at basically was saying, your parents are irresponsible for sending you here. And she obviously, like, credits her survival to them. Like, she wouldn't have lived if they wouldn't have put her on this train and sent her to Switzerland. So after leaving Switzerland, they basically packed up all of these Jewish kids that were sent to Switzerland and sent them to Palestine, where she became a sniper for like the Jewish Dr. Ruth,
the little short one.
Crazy, yeah. She's like 4 foot nothing.
She's like the German Judge Judy. I
know. Basically, her given name was Carola.
Oh.
And when they sent them to, they sent all these German Jews to Palestine, and they said, you can't have that name, it's too German. So she started going by her middle name, which was Ruth, because she was hoping that one day, her parents used to send her mail and send her letters and stuff all the time, and then the letters just stopped. And so she was hoping that her family would be able to find her if maybe she went by her middle name. And of course they never were able to write her back. And, you know, it's crazy to think that back then, she was married 3 times. She got married, got divorced, got married, had a kid, got divorced, and then got married a 3rd time. And he was like the love of her life. But they came out to America. So she was a sniper. She was in like an attack in Palestine and her foot got kind of blown off. She almost died. Like, she has lived the craziest life. And this documentary was so insightful. It wasn't just about her experience as a sex therapist and talking about sex, which she has done so much for people. She was such an ally to, like, and continues to be to the gay community, like, especially in the late 80s when AIDS was becoming a thing. Like, she's not super political. She doesn't like people to know where her politics lie, but it's very clear that she's pretty liberal. But she's always been supportive of Planned Parenthood and of AIDS research, and she's just a fucking gem. Just an absolute gem. You guys should watch this movie, because I had no idea she was a sniper, that she ended up going back and visiting some of the spaces, like in the documentary, like in Palestine where she was, and, you know, looking at this little museum of all these guns and how sad it was, how many people were killed with those. And then in one of the Holocaust museums, like having to look up her parents' names and find out like what happened to them. Super fucking sad. And her kids saying that's the one thing she doesn't talk about. And they showed a panel she was on where they asked, is there anything that you're not comfortable talking about? Because she's so comfortable talking about sex and talking about, you know, all of these different things. They showed a video of her from Conan where she was talking about blue balls. And she was like, we need a term for women when women don't reach orgasm. So we're going to call it blue lips.
Yes.
Because it's so important to not focus just on men having an orgasm. That's important for women too. But she said the one thing that she's not comfortable talking to her kids about or talking to other people about isn't so much the fact that her family was all murdered in the Holocaust. It's the immense amount of loneliness she's felt because of that. And I was like, oh my God. And she's like, because they can't do anything about it. So what's the point of having to put that on somebody else if they can't do anything about it? So that's something she keeps to herself. And she's a fucking gem. She's in her 90s. She's like 94 and number 5, 94 and 95.
Her and Betty White, man. National treasures.
So watch this documentary. Like, absolutely. It's got everything. It's got a Holocaust survivor. It's got, which she said she's not a survivor because her parents shipped her to an orphanage in Switzerland, that she calls herself an orphan of the Holocaust.
Oh, wow.
How fucking heartbreaking is that?
I'm glad you went first.
Thank
you.
Blue lips. That's
the takeaway, guys.
Jean, what are you obsessed with this week?
Well, in true Leo fashion, I am obsessed with myself this week because I'm turning 50.
Yay!
So I'm 50 on Tuesday.
Yes. The big 50.
Hey, Jean, you look 50. Fucking great for 50.
29 no, forever.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you.
You don't look a day over 44.
Oh, you're the best. You know what? I attribute it to clean living. and the fact that I think that I have pickled my internal organs with alcohol over the last decade. Ayo. So I think I've kind of frozen myself at 40, even though I'm turning 50. So I am, you know, I wrote a blog about turning 50. That
we'll share it on the Facebook page.
It's going to be on my blog page, and then I'll share it on Facebook. Just reflecting on fucking half century of being on this planet.
If you could tell your 18-year-old self anything at 8 now, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh.
Stop fucking worrying.
Oh, the fucks. It always comes back to the fucks. Yeah.
It's the declutterization of your fucks.
Mm-hmm.
I spent an awful lot of time gathering, collecting, amassing a whole bunch of fucks that did absolutely nothing for me but bring me down. And I've divested myself of them in the year 2019, which is my birth year, or 50 years since my birth. And I have never been happier living a fuck-free life.
Yes.
And you're also in charge of all of our fucks now.
Yeah.
Jackie has anointed me the fuck disbursement officer, and I proudly and eagerly accept that position.
She issues zero fucks. Like every yeah. situation
we
that we,
them.
Yeah, we request them, but she denies them.
Right. And I can help you gauge whether it is fuck worthy or not.
But nothing's fuck worthy to you.
There's no scale or anything.
Nope.
No, there's
If you read my blog on Tuesday, July 30th, you will understand what is fuckworthy.
Okay.
Because you have a daily allotment.
Right. There are daily fucks that we should have as members of a productive, civilized society. Otherwise, you get sent to the colonies. but if you read the blog that will come out on my birthday, you will understand what fucks you are allowed to have, which are the daily fucks. Mm-hmm. Everything else is not in play anymore. And you got to know that you could contact me personally as the fuck disbursement officer to let you know if you should be giving a fuck about certain things.
And here's the one thing I'll say about Jean's fuck disbursement. It has zero effect on relationships, like, because Jean is one of the best friends we have. So mm-hmm. she's always there to listen to you. Yay. Well, she's always there to listen to you and let you bounce ideas off her. She's not like, fuck you, I don't care. But mm-hmm. then she tells you, that's not worth it, let it go. And you're kind of like, yeah, you know what? And she tells you to flick the fuck mm-hmm. off your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, Aaron collects them. So it's like a whole thing.
Aaron's a fuck magnet. Determined that Aaron is a fuck magnet, and we're still working with her to try to reduce the the fuck collection.
She's a fuck hoarder, I think is what we they just like jump on her.
Fuck hoarder. Yeah, she hoards all the fucks from
Well, happy birthday, Jean.
Happy birthday.
You are without a doubt one of my favorite people on the planet. The world is a better place because of you. Yes.
You and I agree. I'm the same. You guys have brought so much to my life at a time where I really thought I was just swooping downhill and ready to die alone and be eaten.
We
by
won't
my
let
cat.
That happen, Jean.
No, never.
No.
No. So this
I love
week,
you, gals.
We love you,
Jean. This week, we went to Provincetown. I've never been there in the summertime. I've only ever been for Women's Week. So. My wife, me, our son Lincoln, one of my best friends, Bueno, came out from California to hang out with me because this station didn't. We went with two of our other friends, Jody and Mary, and their daughter, Autumn. And
super cute.
God, if you guys haven't been to Provincetown, it is like, it's the happiest place on earth, but for like adults. Mm-hmm. No one
insinuating Disney is not for adults.
Let me tell you something.
It is a gay mecca.
Let me tell you, not just a gay mecca, because there was a shit ton of straight people while we were there.
There was. They kept warning me about this, and I'm like, yeah, there's lots of straights
in the summertime. But let me tell you something. Everyone there is completely accepting, because if you're coming to Provincetown, you already have an acceptance that this is a really gay area. Everyone there is very friendly. They're upbeat. They're nice. It's some of the best food ever. It was nice to get away and spend time with my friends and my wife and my son, and we had a really nice time. So that's what I'm obsessed
Yay.
With this week.
Nice. Yay.
I love your family, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. It's very cute.
It's beautiful. It is. It's so cute.
He's something.
Aww.
So is Lex. Lex is adorable too.
Let me tell you something. I have said this on the podcast before. If you guys can do anything in your lives, marry the best person you've ever met, and you will be okay. I married the best person I've ever met. And that's not to say that I took the only great person. You will meet the best person you've ever met, but they have to be the best person you've ever met.
Hopefully he's online.
But no. That's not a thing we do here. That's not a thing we do here.
Well, we're 50-50 right now.
But I'm the better on
Thank
this one.
You.
Okay. Bueno, what are you obsessed with?
So I feel right now that especially after listening to the podcast and this weekend with you, we talk about being lucky, but also being grateful. So I'm grateful that I was born in America. I'm grateful mm-hmm. that I got to meet you. I'm grateful.
She was pointing to me.
Yeah, that
for
one.
The listeners that can't see.
And I'm grateful that I got to go to P-Town. I get to go to all these fun places. I have a job. I am grateful I got to meet Jean.
Yes.
Bueno. That is so bueno.
You are.
I'm grateful that I'm going to hang out with Bueno on Friday.
Me and Stace are going to go hang out. No, I am. I think more people need to realize that we are lucky and we're so grateful. And I am especially grateful for everything I get to do, because right now I'm about to go back to work. I'm off right now and I'm going to hit the road running. I'm actually grateful for the job that I have as well. But realizing after sitting here talking about all of these shitty situations, that I am one of the luckiest people in the world. Like, we need to do that more often, is just be grateful for what the hell we have, because we have a lot.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Yes. That's what happens when you flick all the fucks off.
Oh, okay. You gotta flick them right off the shoulder. They're right off. Now, flick them. Okay. They're don't off. Let it perch there.
Everyone's wine or alcohol good? Yeah, recommend it. Worth buying. Don't, Gene. Yeah, you have Sutter Home. Don't
look it. If you're a drunk on a budget, go with Sutter Home, man. Do it.
She gives no fucks. She gives no fucks.
Not really. No.
This canned margarita was great. I have a little buzz. I did have to add a little salt to it because I like my margaritas on the rocks. I like my margaritas on the rocks with salt, and so I had to put a little salt on the rim.
Oh, okay.
Ayo.
A little
rim job for my margarita.
Oh, no, you didn't.
She brought a straight shit in here.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't want to deal with the lime juice, so I definitely just licked the rim of my glass. And then
that a girl. That a girl. Yeah.
I feel like Aaron would be proud of that.
I mean, menage a trois is always good shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had no idea how good this was, and it was amazing.
And in spirit of Bueno joining us this week, all of our listeners, find 3 female friends that you appreciate this week and tell them why you appreciate them.
Yes.
I love it. I
love that.
I love it.
I love myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy I met
Leo,
Eugene.
It's not all about you.
Oh.
It is until August 1st.
Listen, Leo.
Listen, everybody's entitled to their birth month. Mine is in Statestober. Feel free to send it.
But really, find three female friends this week in honor of Jean's birthday and in honor of Bueno being with us, and thank them for being friends to you and everything they bring to your life. And I promise you, you will have a better week for it.
Mine are you 3 bitches.
Oh, don't try to get out of it easy, Stacey.
No. Okay, seeing you Friday. I'm seeing you Friday, so you can give it to me. Oh, and all the other people. I can't give other names.
Other people, too.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
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 Bye.